This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Later in the hour, we'll be talking with Craig Venter. But first, does industry funding bias biomedical research? A review in the current issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association shows that biomedical research may be skewing their results for financial gains because of these researchers' relationships with the pharmaceutical industry. According to the study, private industry now provides the majority of biomedical research funding in this country. So do companies with vested interests influence how results are reported and even how studies are designed? Is the financial incentive to produce favorable research for new therapies jeopardizing public health? And can the scientific method be breaking down in the name of financial gain? One of the study's authors joins us now to talk about the financial conflicts of interest in the world of biomedical research. And if you'd like to join our conversation, 1-800-989-8255. Dr. Cary Gross is an assistant professor in the section of general internal medicine at Yale University School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut. He joins us today from his office there. Welcome to the program, Dr. Gross. Dr. Gross, are you there? Did we lose him?
Oh, hello.
There he is, Dr. Gross.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me, Ira. I'm here and I am okay.
Good. Why did you do this study?
Well, as you would imagine, this is a subject that has generated a substantial amount of controversy, and we were concerned. And I first would like to thank and acknowledge my co-investigators. When I say we, meaning Justin Beckelman and Yen Li, we were concerned that there are a lot of anecdotal stories flying around about one particular study that seems to have been squelched without people knowing about it, or a particularly horrific case of an individual who was not told about the risks and benefits of a gene therapy trial in which there was financial conflicts at the both institution and at the investigator level. And we were concerned that these anecdotal reports seemed to be what was getting the most attention, and we thought it would be helpful to really do a thorough review of the literature and find out what is known and what is not known about the scope and impact of financial conflicts of interest on medical research.
Mm-hmm. And what did you find with regards to whether or not research results are influenced by industry ties?
Well, in our review, we found 8 studies that asked that exact question, put a different way. If a study is sponsored by industry, was it more likely to yield a pro-industry or a positive outcome than a study that was not sponsored by industry, meaning sponsored by the National Institutes of Health or some nonprofit organization? So in these 8 studies, they included in total over 1,000 papers. And what we found when we collapsed or when we combined all of these studies together, that the industry-sponsored research had 3.6 times the odds of yielding a positive outcome than did the non-industry-sponsored research.
Wow. Can you draw any conclusions from that?
Yeah, and that's the key question. Why? There's definitely a relationship.
Yeah.
Definitely suggestive of bias. What could be the cause? Well, we found other papers which did provide some helpful evidence. For instance, we found 4 other studies that suggested that industry-sponsored studies were more likely to employ trial designs that favor the outcome toward their product. For example, you know, in a typical study, you'd want to compare a new drug, drug A, versus an existing treatment, say drug B.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happened, what we found was that industry-sponsored trials were more likely to use a placebo for drug B as a comparison treatment, or more likely to use a lower dose of the comparison drug than you would find in the dose of their drug. So that's one explanation, is a difference in the comparison agents, using something that's inactive or just a lower dose. Another study that we found, these authors did, they reviewed over 50 published studies of arthritis medicine. And then, they pulled all of the studies that were sponsored by industry, then analyzed the results. Turns out that in these 50 studies, over 50, what they found was that none concluded that the industry agent was inferior to the comparison agent. So this strongly suggests that there's got to be some barrier between a negative study finding its way to publication, because statistically speaking, if you have a group of studies comparing drug A versus drug B, eventually drug B theoretically should be better, but that's not what was reported in the literature.
Now, aren't the drug, the pharmaceutical companies, aren't they the ones who conduct all the studies to get their new drugs approved by the FDA?
Well, I don't know if I would say conduct. They certainly fund fund the studies, and they're conducted either through academic medical centers or through contract research organizations. But yes, they fund it, and they're definitely involved in the design of these studies, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So that gives a sort of makes we as consumers of these drugs a little questionable about whether we're being told the truth or not.
Yeah, it's very concerning. What is science? I mean, what is medical research for? Over the past 20 years, there's been a great emphasis in clinical medicine for doctors to try to really use the literature to help them make decisions about individual patients. It's no longer a case where doctors are expected to rely on what they learned in medical school and to think about what their own personal experience has been. But now what we're expected to do is really do a thorough review of the literature, be aware of the new evidence that's out there, and apply that to our patients. So it's very concerning as a doctor and also as a prospective patient to think about what is the genesis, where is this evidence coming from.
Mm-hmm. Now, you work at Yale, and you work in the med school there. Do you have connections to drug companies?
Yes, I do. I did a. I participated in a study as a principal investigator that was sponsored by AstraZeneca.
Mm-hmm. And so you can speak firsthand of pressure from AstraZeneca?
Oh, no. I here I am outing AstraZeneca. No, to be honest, my personal experience with working with industry was a good one. And that's, I feel like the fact that I had industry ties enabled me to look at this topic from hopefully a more objective viewpoint from the initial get-go, in that when we were speaking with AstraZeneca before initiating work on that project, it was assured that I would have control of the data, that me and my investigators would be able to write the manuscript independently and have the final decision about when it gets published, where it gets submitted for publication. So, I mean, I think that's just a personal example of the fact that a lot of industry-sponsored research is, it's important, it's productive, it's needed, and importantly, if it's done the right way, it can be relatively free from bias.
Well, let's talk about the right way. What is your recommendation or conclusion about the right way to do these things?
Yeah, that's really also a key question. Our goal in putting together our review was to not be overly normative and try to lay out a framework for what is the right approach. But I'll be happy to discuss my opinions.
Go ahead.
First and foremost, I think the medical journal editors, to their credit, have taken the initiative at the national level. And let me explain what they've done. This is about a year ago. The International Council of Medical Journal Editors issued a joint editorial published in all the major medical journals at the same time, the New England Journal, JAMA, Annals of Internal Medicine, European journals, etc. And what they decreed, and it was a decree, we will no longer publish a paper unless the authors are able to sign a letter stating that they had control of the data and that they had control over the decision to publish it. And that's one of the key sticking points in a lot of the anecdotal reports about the impact of industry, is the question of, is there a contractual protection for the investigator to be able to really do all the analysis themselves, and if it's a negative study, to be able to publish it. So the medical journal editors, they recognize they have an extremely powerful position, because if a study doesn't get published, no one really knows about it. Or if it's, you know, if a study is not published, even if a drug company wanted just to release a press release telling people about the new study, people just wouldn't believe it unless it has the endorsement of being in a medical journal and making it through the peer review process. So I think these new requirements are extremely important, and I would hope that there is follow up to make sure that these requirements are being followed. And based on our review, I'm a little concerned that might not be the case, because we found prior journal policies on financial conflicts of interest were not being followed. There used to be, and still is, a policy that was in place for the past, I don't know, 8 or 10 years in many journals, suggesting that they had to disclose all financial conflicts of the investigators when they publish a paper. And we found that many journals were not disclosing these financial conflicts. So there is concern that might not be happening with the old rules and with these new, more stringent requirements. My first recommendation would be to make sure that these are being adhered to. Secondly, if you really want to find out for sure whether all scientific manuscripts, or I should say whether all studies are being published, whether they're seeing the light of day, there should be a registry. And if you're going to ask people to participate in a trial, if you're going to ask people to put their lives in your hands and let you toss a coin, that's what a randomized study is. You're telling someone, hey, I don't know which drug is better. I'm going to flip a coin and I'm going to give you whatever, you know, whatever the coin says. That puts us as scientists and as a research community in a very privileged position. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to maintain that position, we need to ensure patients that even if it's a negative study, even if I'm going to financially lose money, the scientific world will find out about it. So I would like to see somewhere, a registry of research that includes not only what research is going on, but also what were the results and what were the financial relations of everyone involved.
Are you saying, if I hear you correctly, that there are studies that are done but come up with negative results that we just never hear about?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I was not able to get good data in our review about how frequently that occurs. When I say absolutely, these are from anecdotal reports. One study in our review, though, they did a survey of investigators, and they did find that investigators who had industry sponsorship were more likely to report that they had publication restrictions. So, I mean, again, that's other.
What do you mean? What does that mean, publication? You won't publish the results if they're negative?
Yeah, or at least publication restrictions might just be something that's broad in the contract that says something like, the sponsoring entity needs to sign off before something can be submitted for publication, needs to approve. So, and actually, since I've published this this paper in the past week or so, we've been getting quite a few emails from people bearing their souls about horrible experiences that they've had. So there are other anecdotal reports that people are not getting.
And you're saying now that the bulk of studies are done by private industry now, so we can only expect to hear more of these complaints.
Yeah, I would hope that this is something that is going to be addressed, and so in the short term we would hear more of these complaints as people are investigating it more thoroughly. In the long term, then we'll hear fewer of these complaints.
Mm-hmm. But the only way to ensure that is if industry understands that they're being watched, perhaps.
Yeah, and I mean, if I was if I had a prominent position in a pharmaceutical company, I would be extremely concerned about the perception of the public and the perception of scientists. I just ran across a very interesting study that was just published 2 months ago in the British Medical Journal. And what these guys did, they took 170 doctors and they mailed half of them a research article, a publication. And they mailed the other half the same exact publication, except at the bottom they wrote that the authors had stock in the company.
You better give me the answer because I got 10 seconds to go.
Okay. What they found was that the people who got the articles with financial ties were more likely to feel that the results were invalid and unbelievable.
Dr. Gross, I got to say goodbye. Thank you for joining us. Dr. Gross of Yale Medical School in New Haven. We'll be back after this short break. Stay with us.